top of Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Fine. My Amen. Said yesterday that answering Amen, according to one opinion, is what gets the person in Talim Haba, the child in Talim Haba. What is Amen? Meaning, well, how is Amen a sign of Yerushalayim? How is Amen a sign of Yerushalayim? This is how Rashi learns. Shaydin Kabroch Kabroch Amen. Heich Mash Mekabalus Yerushalayim. Amar of Chanina Kel Melech Neman. Amen stands for Kel Melech Neman. Now there's the Mepharshim bring down. There's two kinds of Amen. There's the Amen that we agree and the Amen that we ask that it happen. Right? There's some Amens that we ask Tav Shemcha L'chana L'haydas. That's true. Amen. It's true. It's 100% true. The Rabbani Shlom is a Tav Shemcha L'chana L'haydas. And then there's the ones that we would like it to happen. Like Veichai Le'ama Yisrael. Gael Yisrael. Baruch Hashanim. So it's true when we would like it to happen. That's what the Mepharshim say. There are two kavanas to have an Amen. But by having in mind by Amen that you believe it's true, it's Kel Melech Neman, it's Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, it's recognizing the power of the Rabbani Shlalom, and that's like a Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. Rashi Kel Melech Neman, but the Trikin, it is an abbreviation, Shemam and Olaf HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he trusts on himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, means he shows that he believes in the Rabbani Shlalom. The Svarim say, the one that answers Amen is like the second witness. This is brought in Ramah. That is, it's like the second witness. The person said the bracha testified, and then the person that says Amen is strengthening the testimony. That's what the Svarim say. They say over, again, a story by Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Reb Chaim Volozhiner was machmer, that he never said a bracha unless somebody was around to say Amen. That was his chumrah. Very machmer that everybody should be there. So once at 2 o'clock in the morning, he was extremely thirsty. He didn't have anybody to say Amen for him. He didn't know what to do. He was very machmer that he always said, had somebody answer Amen. All of a sudden there was a knock on the door, and one of the Bacham in Yeshiva came to ask him a question in learning. He saw the light on, he came to speak to his Yeshiva in learning. So he said, oh, do me a favor, you're here already, answer Amen. So he said the Bracha and he answered Amen. Next morning he went to thank the Bacham for coming. He said, you saved me because I was so thirsty and you came by. Bacham said to him, I never came. I have no idea what the Yeshiva is talking about. So he figured out the Pshat is in a Shemayim, they sent him somebody that looked like their Bachar, and this is brought down in the Svarim, this is our story, and that person, whoever it was, answered Amen. So from then on, however, he gave respect to that Bachar. So obviously, that was the way it came in a Shemayim, in the Tzura of that Bachar. And he say the following part, and it's brought from the Arizal. If a person is alone and there's no one to answer him, it's a Pasuk. And his heart desires, he creates a malach to be able to be the second one, to be the second one to testify that the Rabbani Shlalom is the Shahakol Diyabedvare. Again, this is the story they say over. It's supposed to come from a Kairis Namanim. I'm not a big story teller, but this is the story they say over about Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Yes?
Gee whiz. How can an entity without the Bechira either give a bracha or
I don't know. I don't know. Good. Amen is easy to answer. It's robotic. It's robotic. It's a robotic thing. Yes. I'm sorry. The pasuk is I don't know where it is. That's the pasuk. So it's a taichim darizal, but they say they apply it to this story that if one is alone and there's no one to answer, his heart desires create the malach to come and be the second one. Ifsa, what's enough? Taiva. Ifsa vayoas. Anyway, that's
also a type of a shvua omen.
There could be a Kabbalah shvua as well, right? Right. Omen. Okay. That's the Gemara right. L'chein hirchiva nafsha, shoyel nafsha. Gehenim has broadened its soul. If I'm mistranslating, if you can please correct me. Upara pia, and it opened its mouth. Am I right? Right?
Therefore, Sheol has expanded her desire to open wider mouth without measure.
Wider mouth. The Zichait without measure. I'm a Rish Lakish now. The next piece of Gemara is a very difficult piece of Gemara. What? We're going to find out in a second. The next piece of Gemara is a very difficult Gemara on how to touch this pasuk. I will speak out a few pshatim that I saw in it, and we'll leave the there's 30 pshatim on this Gemara, at least. I mean, I think I'm underestimating. Amarish Lagish Lamisha Mishayir Afilu Chayk Echad. Gehenim will be around. It's talking about Gehenim. Gehenim has widened its soul and opened its mouth, or widened its mouth to without limitations. Levli Chayk, Rish Lakish says, one who doesn't do even Chayk Echad, he leaves out one Chayk, that means he does everything besides one thing, has to go to Gehenna. Now, there's many problems over here, but before we do any problems in this, let's listen to Rabbi Yochanan's response. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, L'nichel l'marayad amritul. Hachi. The Rabbi Nishlam does not like that you say this. Ella, fiddle le'lamad al-chayk. Even if a person only did one chayk, studied one chayk, or was constant from one chayk, he will also not go to Gehenna. The v'li chayk means he has no chayk. But if he has one chayk, it saves him. So here we have Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan seems to be diametrically opposed to each other, with Rish Lakish saying if a person has one thing wrong, he's missing one chayk, he goes to Gehenna, and Rabbi Yochanan saying if he has one chayk, he doesn't go to Gehenna. So the Tiras Chaim, I'm going to explain two explanations which I saw. One is the Tiras Chaim, who was a very early Achron, and one is the Maral. And the Tiras Chaim says that Shad is every, it brings down this what the Sfarim say, it's an Arizal, Chaim Vital has all arichas on this, and that is that every mitzvah is connected a limb or a connected a gid. There is 248 essays and 365 lavin, and they correspond to a part of the person's body. And by doing the mitzvah or not doing the aveira, that corresponds to that part of the body, they make that part of the body complete and make it into a quote unquote a ruchniyistic entity that can go into Olam Haba. If one is lacking, Rish Lakish feels, that since part of the person is not shalem, it needs to be purified and brought to its shlemus. And one of the ways it's brought to its shlemus is by having to go to Gehenna. The problem is, the Gemara says in Chagiga, that the Ein at Ila Tupashi Yisrael, Ein Arsha Gehenna Shaletas Behem. It says that the Gemara compares Salamandra, that if a person learns, he's coated with the salamandra coating, and he's not affected by the fire of Gehenna. And here Rish Lakish seems to be sending a lot of people down there for purification processes. So the answer they give is, Yaakov gives, is the difference between Arsho Gehenna Shaletes, meaning a person that becomes an inhabitant, so to speak. He becomes like a part of it, or someone that has to go to Gehenna temporarily, part of his body for that purification. And that Rish Lakish, what he's saying is, the part that didn't reach its shleimus in this world will need its shleimus done to it in Gehenna, or would have to be purified in Gehenna. So the Tiras Chaim explains. Which Rabbi Yochanan understands that since one part of the person doesn't go to Gehenna, so no part of the person can go to Gehenna, and that part saves everything else and brings it out of Gehenna. So the Tiras Chaim explains. The Maral learns differently. The Maral learns that there's two mitzvahs that are referred to as chayk. Now the truth is there are many more, but I think he means two mitzvahs that are on the body of the person that are referred to as chayk. One is mila and one is tefillin. That's what he learns, even though tefillin is not on the body, it's something we wear. But he says those are the two things that are called chayk that are directly on the person, as opposed to Shabbos, which is a chayk, or a shatnas, which is a chayk, which is something you don't wear. Tefillin and mila are the two chayks that a person has to have. And the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that a person who is missing a kaftid l'man of tefillin, a person that doesn't put on tefillin, is a terrible thing. Meaning missing those things that are supposed to be on the person's body is a terrible avera. And the question Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan is, what if one does one of the two and not the other? So Rish Lakish is saying, if you're missing one of the two chayks, then one has to go to Gehenna. And Rabbi Yochanan says, as long as he kept one of the two chayks, then he doesn't go to Gehenna. Meaning, we're talking about a person that now has most mitzvahs. He's most mitzvahs and mir averis. So he's not supposed to go to Gehenna. But he has one of the averis that he did is he's missing one of the two chayks. He didn't have tefillin, or he didn't have mila, one of the two. And the question is, can that person skip Gehenna by the fact that he's roiv schuyas or not? That's how the Maral learns it. And Rish Lakish is saying that if he's missing one of the two, he has to go to Gehenna. And Rabbi Yochanan says as long as he kept one of the two, he does not have to go to Gehenna. This is the Maral's explanation. There is a third explanation that I will mention, and that is we're talking about a person that's 50-50. Exactly 50-50, and the question is, he's missing one of the kites. How does that, something to that effect? But again, it's a very difficult Gemara. Again, we don't know how Olam Haba works exactly with Gehenna and Gan Eden, and as I said at the beginning of the week, as the week goes on, we'll get more confused about the issue. Yes?
One first problem is pretty easy to deal with. which is nobody can do 613.
Right, okay, so that's my bit asked the question. The my bit says either through Liman HaTaira or through Arvas. My bit asked the question. I'm sorry, I should have mentioned it. My bit asked, how can a person keep 613 mitzvahs? It's impossible. Men have mitzvahs, ladies have mitzvahs, kings have mitzvahs, kahanim have mitzvahs. So my bit says either through learning or through the fact that we're a unit and therefore one's mitzvahs count for the other.
Right.
That's
a pretty big deal. But the other one is, it would seem that both sides argue on the Rambam. And because the Rambam states that you receive 100% of your reward for everything you do, and 100% of your punishment for everything.
Well, this is not Gehenna forever.
If
going to Rav Yechonah, there's going to have to be a purification process, but it'll be done outside of Gehenna. Maybe in this world, doesn't say. But it, that's what it obviously is going to be the answer. Rashi.
The question is, if I was forced like that, so why should anybody be missing the business?
Because you're supposed to do, no, because it's only if you do what you're supposed to. I mean, if you don't do what you're supposed to, how can I count yours? Meaning, the ones I can't do weren't given to me. I'm not supposed to have the mitzvahs of a king. I wasn't made king. So it's impossible. By the way, without getting into trouble, and I know I'm on tape, we say Shlo Yisana Isha in the morning because we have more mitzvahs than women. That's a fact. That's why we say Shleit Anisha. Not getting involved and they don't need it. I'm not getting involved now and I don't want to go there. But why doesn't the Kahanim say a bracha saying that they have more mitzvahs than us? Avraham Cohen should be making a bracha every morning that he has more mitzvahs than I do. He's a Kayan. I don't have those mitzvahs. Why doesn't he make a bracha? So Kabbalti Maravitsa, I heard from my Rebbe, the pshat is we have every mitzvah that Avraham Cohen has. Except Avraham Cohen does it in action, or I'm sorry, Amanasha is another kind here. Except that they do it in action, and we do it through Torah, right? I can't duchen, but I can learn Hilchos Kuflof Ches and Shulchan Aruch and learn the halachas about duchening. I can't I don't have the mitzvah of being zohar b'tumas meis, but there's a siman in Shulchan Aruch that deals with it that I can learn through the Torah of that mitzvah. Whereas a woman who's not mitzvah in Talmud Torah doesn't have access to those mitzvahs she's not mitzvahed, only through her husband and her children, like the Gemara says in Brachas. Therefore, they don't have the mitzvahs we have. There is no mitzvah a Kayan has that I don't have, because I have access to every mitzvah, because K'alai mitzvah Kayim. I can't keep duchening. I'm not allowed to duchen. But I can keep duchening to my level through mitzvah Limud HaTorah. K'alai mitzvah Kayim. Whereas a lady who's not mechuyev in Talmud Torah doesn't have access to those mitzvahs through Limud. Therefore, the Shleitzani Isha in the morning is that we have more mitzvahs than ladies have. Whereas the Kayin doesn't make a brach, he has more mitzvahs than me, because I have those same mitzvahs. I can learn them. I can get the schar for those mitzvahs through Limud HaTorah. So, Kach Mekublani Merabe Isa. Yes. Yes. No, they don't. Because if they're not mitzvah to learn, the Torah doesn't do the same thing for them it does for us. The Gemara asks them brachas, Nashim b'mayis hachim. How can women do it? Where's their Torah? Why does the Gemara say they can learn? Because the answer is, even if they learn, it's a mitzvah of the Eitz Torah. It's not mitzvah of the Eitz. They have to have access to a mitzvah of the Eitz Torah. So they have access through it by through their husbands and through their children. Because they send their children off to learn, and they send their husband off to learn. So that gives them access to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which gives them access to all those mitzvahs that they can't get themselves.
The whole
new insight is all the mitzvah. Yeah, that's clear. You have to say that. If not, the Gemara would have given you an answer. Let them go learn.
Women have Torah. I think
Torah
is the Mecho.
Right, the Gemara inside does. But the Gemara Baruch is not Shem. By the way, once I'm here, I might as well say the other side. The Gemara right afterwards says, "Gadol Mashenemer Benashim Yaisim Benashim," that the schar by ladies is greater than by the men. So everybody says, "Why?" So I heard from Ramatashel Solomon. He told the Tovah to me. He says the Alter and Kelm, I think, says this. Somebody says this part that no, Rav Elia Lapian, he said it over. Rav Elia Lapian told him the part. The pshat is a lady sends her husband off 2 hours at night to learn in Kail. So he goes for 2 hours, he schmoozes an hour, and he learns an hour. So she gets carved 2 hours of Liman HaTorah. She gave up 2 hours of her husband to go sit and learn. Right? That he's schmoozing an hour in the title is not her fault. She sent him to learn. He, meanwhile, only gets carved for an hour of learning. So Gadol Mashenem Benashim Yaisim Benashim. So Rabbi Eliyahu Yon said that was the. I figured it's only fair to balance the scale. Yes.
So Dordea.
I still don't understand. I didn't understand the yesterday or the day before. I can't answer you. I don't know.
Rashi.
Yes.
When they say Shoshana kids, I don't know. Is that a bigger, a closer to Hashem or more similar?
Oh, that's okay. I'm definitely not going to answer that on tape. Yes, the women are told absolutely that they didn't need the mitzvahs, and therefore they're greater. That's what Shoshana kids on me. No, that's not what it means. Shoshana kids on me means he made me the way he wanted me to. That's what the words mean.
That's different than we. Men?
Well, we say Shlaizana Isha, they say Shlaizana Kitsana. We don't say Shlaizana Kitsana.
We're not.
We are, but we think bigger. We have more mitzvahs. We're thanking Hashem for something positive. They're thanking Hashem for whatever it is.
They're making a smaller bracha?
There's no smaller bracha. They're making a bracha.
I don't know how to.
I know. I'm glad you don't. Rashi. What should they say? What do you mean? Oh, no, because you can't. Because we're trying to master Kasha. Why would we say Shlaitz on a guy? Say Shasana Yisrael. Because then you would lose two brachas. Because you would lose Shlaitz on, meaning you couldn't say Shlaitz on the Ovid afterwards. We want to thank Hashem for stages and Kiyama mitzvahs. Shlaitz on a guy, we have more mitzvahs than Goyim have. Shlaitz on the Ovid, we have more mitzvahs than Avadim have. Shlaitz on a Isha, we have more mitzvahs than women have.
Men.
No, because once you say Shasana Yisrael, that covers Evan. And Evan is not a Yisrael. So in order to be able to split it into three, that's what the Rishonim answer. That's why we say it in the negative. Yes?
No, this is not the only place one is to find the negative.
The Rishonim answer is it's a valid question.
This is not the only place. This is Elena. There are other places that I can answer.
Right.
In the end, they're one of the mechanisms.
Yeah, but there we talk the positive also. Ba'anach Lukairim, right?
Oh, that's
right.
In the end, one of the ways that one can define oneself being
Shemoni
is that
glow
is defined both by that which is included and that which is
excluded. Okay, I think I'll move on. For safety purposes. Rashi Shemashiah Pulakai Gagod, the Lushamrai, Nidan Begehenim. When Nikolai Mariah, the Krashena Kodesh Broker, writes to state that Vanis Yisrael called Kapul Kap Kaiba. Vanislam doesn't like such negativity. Something to Marvite. Now we're going to argue with a similar kind of thing in the next Pasuk. In fact, we're going to have it in three psukim, the same argument. Two-thirds will be uprooted, yigvol, they will die. And a third will be left. Amar Shlakish, shlishi shel shame. A third, I don't know how it fits into the words, and I'm learning like Rashi. A third of shame will survive. Now, Shem had three kids. I'm sorry, he had more than three kids, but we'll say Apachshad is a third. And a third of Apachshad will survive. That means all of Chum, all of Yefes, this is how Rashi learns, the Adrama argues, all of Chum, all of Yefes, most of Shem will be destroyed. One of Shem's children, a third of those of his children will survive. The Rebbeinu Shlom doesn't like that pshat. It means a third of Nayach, meaning the whole Apakshat will survive. Now, what is this argument? I want to do Rashi first. Whether the whole Apakshat survives or part of Apakshat survives, why is Rebbe Yochanan so upset the way Rashi learns? We're going to learn Rashi, two pshatim, then I will mention the Adramat pshat as well. Dr. Rashi. Pachshad is the third son of Shem. We'll see in a second. Let's do Rashi. Amar Esh Lakish. Sorry. Pishraim by Yikarsu v'yigvul that will die by Shlishis Yivatsema. Amar Esh Lakish Shlishis Hashem. Shemeis Chalakim Shekalaylam Diyo Nechrasim. Two-thirds of the world will be uprooted. Nakele Gimel Yivatsema and a third will be left. Ve'ez Echelik Shlishis. Ko Shlishiyash Yesh L'shalesh Anu M'shalshim. Any splitting into three that we're able to do, we're going to split into three. Sheminayach nifredu kalaylam. From Nayach came the whole world. The Gimel banav hayolai, he had three children. Hari shlish banav shame. A third of his children is shame. Ushlishi shol shame hu apachshad. The third son of a shame is apachshad. Kedusiv b'nei shame elum v'apachshad Vashur Vapakshad Velud Varab. Now that's five children. So why is Apakshad a third? The Trashi, because the Mustama Bizarishul Apakshad Yasheris. It'll be the leftovers will be from Apakshad's descendants, Hayov Yisrael Yitzim Menu, because the Jews come from them. And therefore, since we know the Yidden are gonna be left over, so obviously the third of Naya of Shame, which is gonna manifest itself through Apakshad, or at least a lot of it is going to come through Apakshad, because even though he's not one of three of Noach of Shem, he's one of five, but obviously the third that's going to be left over is going to be geared to him because of the fact that he is where Chai Yisrael comes from. Ushlishi shal Apakshad, shushlishi shal Shem, shushlishi shal Noach, a third of Apakshad, which is a third of Shem, which is a third of Noach, Yivaser. Now Rashi is assuming that Apakshad was a third in population. I don't know where he got that from. The Kala Olam Yikares and everybody else will be uprooted. Now, the Divrei Reish Lakish, Nimsi Yisrael Mismatim B'Yisar. That means they'll be diminishing in Kala Yisrael. Why? Shem Apakshad Yotzi Yisrael. Yisrael come from Apakshad, Ketuksiv, Beparshas Noach. Apakshad Hayelach Hashelach, Hashelach Hayelach is Eber, Ve'Eber Hayelach is Pelag. Ad Avroah. Shatam Mishalik, Begimul, Chalokim, Zaresh, or Apakshad. And you take the children of Apakshad and split it into three parts. Higan, B'nai Yisrael, B'Yishmo, Shem B'nai Avram, they're all sons of Apakshad. And B'nai Loit, B'nai Haran, V'chein Sharu, Umay, Shiyatsu, B'menu, L'gimu, Chalokim. Shema Yisrael, Yir, Merubim, Mekrayv, and Lias, Kereget, Kulam. Perhaps the Jews will equal half of Apakshad's population. And, V'lai Agiu, Kozera, Apakshad, Lias, Pishnayim. And it'll come out that the Jews are more than a third of our Apakshad's population. And if you're going to uproot two thirds of our Apakshad, Jews are going to be killed. Elam ken Yisrael maslimim ruba mechitcham. Benimtza Yisrael mismatim b'teich mishnayim. So the way Rashi learns his first pshat is, by saying a third of our Apakshad, we're taking a chance that we're diminishing the population of Yidden. Because a third of Apakshad means a third of Apakshad. We don't know how it's going to split up. Perhaps the Jews will be more than a third of Apakshad. And therefore, at the time Mashiach comes. And therefore, by saying only a third survive, we'll be cutting off a lot of Yidden, and we don't want to do that. From the whole world, a third will be left. Now, the Jews are not going to be more than a third of the world. And therefore, if a third of the world survives, Jews will be remain intact. The Jews will not make a third of the world, so who else is surviving? The Gerim and the Chassidah will complete the third. And if the Jews do comprise more than a third of the world's population, Yismatu Ktsas. So it'll be a little bit of a diminishing, but not as much as if it's only a third of our Pakshim. That's when we come back to Rabbi Yechon and Ein Yisrael Mismatim Kokach Kamei L'Divrei Rish Lakish. The Yidden will not be as diminished as according to the words of Rish Lakish. That's Mairi V'Rebi. That's one shot Rashi has. That a third of our Pakshim will survive according to Rish Lakish, and a third of Noach will survive according to Rabbi Yechon. Third of our Apakshad is playing around because Jews might be more than a third of our Apakshad by the time Mashiach comes, and we don't want that to happen. There'll be a lot of Yidden Rachman al Islam that are killed. Lishnachrini, the second Shad says as follows. Shlishi Shoshem, Vashlishis, Mashma Shnei Shlish, two thirds, two times, two one thirds. Kachnemer Shlishis, Shlishi Shoshlishi Lishem, a third of the third child of Shem. So it's not that Apakshad is a third of Shem's population. It's that he's the third son of Shem. A third of Apakshad who is the third son of Shem, Yivatzer. Hainu shlishis mi Yisrael. Ela shlishi shonayach. Meaning this. So going to this shot, a third of Klal Yisrael who comes from the third son of Shem, who comes from the third son of Noach, will survive. So, Rishon Shlokish, only a third of Klal Yisrael is making it, according to the second shot. And Rav Yechonon's response is, Shlishi Shonayach Klemer Kulei Apakshad Yivaser Bay. No, the whole Apaksha will survive. Shushlishi Shlishi Shanayach. He is the third son of the third son of Nayach. The Shem Hayaban Shlishi Shanayach will still be Sham, Nayach Shem Chum Vyepis. And we said later on that Shem is the, earlier that Shem is the youngest. Rapaksha Shlishi Lashem Vyikr. So Rashi learns that Rish Lakish is saying a third of Klal Yisrael, who comes from the third son of Shem, who comes from a third son of Nayach, will survive. And Rav Yechon is saying, no, the third son of Shem will survive, including all his descendants, which means all of Klal Yisrael, plus Goyim as well. That's the Machlokes Rish Lakish and Rav Yechon.
When Mashiach comes? Or throughout history?
No, I think it's through when Mashiach comes.
Rabbi,
yes?
What did Rashi at the beginning begin?
I think he meant to say he's going to join us at that point. That's what I think he means. That'll be new Geirut. Yes. Well, in both shots, I'm more concerned that Klai Yisrael might be diminished. And in one, it's saying a third of Klai Yisrael, and the other one, he's saying a third of our Pakshad, which might take away a lot of Yidden. Again, if you ask me, a third of our Pakshad is not going to comprise, Klai Yisrael is not going to be a majority of them. But then again, we don't know who's in our Pakshad or not. So Rashi's saying, what we're concerned with Yechonin is it's possible that the Jews will be more than a third of our Pakshad. Again, it's.
There's seven generations.
And Abraham Avinu, correct. But then again, you know, I can't answer the question.
Why does Rashi say Chassid Oilim Shoevdik Achobim?
No, Chassid Oivdik Achobim, he says, the Chassidim of Gayim. He didn't say they do Avaida Zara. The Chassidim of the Gayim. Means they don't do Avaida Zara. You're right, Oivdik Achobim is a misleading thing here. Let the Gemara write. The next pasuk they argued about. Tiyanaychi Baalti Bechem, I have, can I have a translation there? Come your master of the Kakti Eskim, I will take you Echad Meir Ushnaim and Mishpacha. One from a city and two from a family. Amar Ashlokish Dvarim Kiksabim. That's who will be saved. One per city, two per family. Now, when I'm bothered, city's bigger than a family. But they say that means family located in different areas. It's easier. It's on the next Monday Amar. Hashem doesn't want you to have so many people killed. One tzaddik will save his whole city. And two from a family can save the whole family, even though they're dispersed all over the world. Two members, two tzaddikim in a family can save the whole greater family all around the world. One tzaddik in a city can save the city. Took Rashi. One per city, two per family. From one city, chassid in the city, I will take the whole city. Yes, doctor. It does? Who does he quote that from? Well, I didn't see that. I'm sorry, because I saw the other pshat. The families are more dispersed, and that's the chiddush. But it could be I missed that pshat. Rabbi was sitting in front of Rabbi Yosef Kamer Dvarim Kiksavim, and he was learning chat in the pasuk one per city, two per family. Amalei Rabbi Nichalim Lemarai Damitalahu Achi. The Rebbeinu Shem doesn't like that. And it's very interesting. Very rarely do you have an Amayra telling somebody else the Rebbeinu Shem doesn't like your chat. You're not happy with your chat because you're making him very harsh. I mean, this is how to learn a pasuk. You know, again, the same thing we had before. He left his generosity. It's like we're making it sound like. Like we're playing some game over here. Oh, there might be someone wouldn't like that. You know what I mean? Is it true or is it not true, Pshat? How did you argue, Pshat, in the pasuk? What's like Nichulu Murayu? Rashi said he wants you to be down the Kapschos, not down the Kapchai. And again, very interesting terminology being used. Then the Gemara continues. He saw Rav Kahana was spending a lot of time on his hair during the time set aside to learning. That's what Rashi said. It's okay to make oneself look neat and clean, but not during the time set aside to learning. The Salik v'yasim kameh Rav, and then he went to learn in front of Rav. Amaloi, so Rav told him, Tim Tzavaretzachayim, you won't find in the land of the living. Amaloi, may look alive, please. I'm kind of like cursing me because I cleaned my hair. Amaloi Krok, I mean, I'm trying to tell you something. Tim Tzavaretzachayim, Mishimachayim, Atzmeh, Tzavaretzachayim won't be fine with people that spend too much time on their physical appearance, on their looks. Meaning, there's time for that, there's time for learning. And if one goes into the other and takes away time, it doesn't bode well for Limud HaTorah. Rashi, Chazi Ravler of Kahana, the Dechai of Reisha, Choyf of Reisha, Madden Atzma, and this is the key word here, Vishar Shahoy Leilom Matera. Now, Chayyim Rabbi Dayak from that, that Rav is not saying, do not look neat. Do not make sure you look, your appearance is right. What he's trying to say is, there's time for that, and then it's not supposed to go into the Seder time. Like Tim Tzavarit Achayim, Mashma Shemakadu Loi Leisavi Leilom Abba, will not come to Leilom Abba. Such a Gemara by you. Now, the next Gemara, again, it gets more difficult. I will say the Parshim Pshat, I will say the Maral's Pshat, I will say the Meshech Chachmas Pshat. Again, there's 30 Pshatim, but I would, those are the ones that I saw. Setting my right to Tanya of Shemo Yomer. Nemar says, Vulukakti Eschem Liliyam, I will take you as a nation. The Nemar Vavesi Eschem, Makish Yitziyasim Mitzrayim Lubiyasim Lorit. It compares their leaving to Mitzrayim to coming into Eretz Yisrael. Mabiyasim Lorit, Shnayim Yisamach Rivoy. Just like when they came into Eretz Yisrael, it was 2 out of 600,000. Right? Only Yeshua and Kalid survived between the ages of 20 and 60, besides Shevet Levi, and I don't know why they're not included. Also, when they left Mitzrayim, it's 2 out of 600,000 Yidden left Mitzrayim. Which is much different than 1 out of 5 or 1 out of 500. It comes out that there's, the number after trillion, 180, in Hebrew it's called milliard. I think milliard is billion. 180 billion Jews before
trillion. German is a billion.
Yeah, billion. 180 billion Yidden were in Mitzrayim. Now that's a very difficult thing for us to grasp. So the Maral learns as follows. The Maral learns that if you count all the Yidden that lived in Mitzrayim from when they entered to the when they left, it came out that there were 180, even this is a big number, there were that many Yidden, and 2 out of 600,000 survived. So not 2 out of what came out of Mitzrayim immediately. All the generations that were in Mitzrayim over 210 years, 2 survived to come out of Mitzrayim. That's what the Maral learned. Again, it makes it just that the 180 billion number, instead of being right there at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, is spread over 210 years, which is still a huge number. The Meshech Chochma says that the Nisim HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed in Yetzias Mitzrayim made a Yeshua and Kalev. Meaning, the other ones, obviously, after all the miracles were said and done, still did something wrong. They were chaytiv and miraglim. So, all the miracles did not make them into complete people to be able to go into Eretz Yisrael. So, the whole, just like 2 out of 600,000 went into Eretz Yisrael, all the miracles Hashem made was worthwhile for those two people to reach that madrega of Shleimus. That's how the Meshech Chochma explains it. Meaning, that the even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Nisim for all Yidden, but the rest of the Yidden didn't use the miracles to grow in the optimum growth that they could have grown through them, and 2 did. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's miracles were worthwhile to have those two people reach Shleimus. That's how the Meshech Chochma translates this Gemara. That's the Gemara right. Now I think you should wait for the next Gemara. You'll have many more questions, and it'll work together. It'll be the same thing. It's off the subject. That's rather, if you don't mind. Not to give my advisor. Yes.
As far as the 2 out of 600,000 that was commented on initially, I mean, it's even worse than that. I mean, everybody above the age of 60 went in, women went in,
right.
Age of 20, but this just simply says 2 out of the count.
Right, exactly.
It's 2 out of the count.
So that's sort of my question. What's the difference between the 20 to 60? And the ones that are
well, obviously, there's a lot of difference between the 20 and 60 and the ones under and over. I don't know any Pasha difference. I know Alpi Kabbalah, there's major difference.
But they were smarter.
Not smarter.
They avoided doing Averis?
No, nothing to do with that. It was they're counted. They're considered. Okay, it's hard for me to answer the question without delving into something I don't understand, and I don't like to do that. The question's a good question. Amar Rava, there's 600,000 Nishmas Yisrael. That's what the Zayir says. There's 600,000 Nishamas. Right? And each one of those 600,000 had one of those Nishamas. Now, the other people had Nishamas too, by the way. The under 20 and the over 60. And for some reason, that 20 to 60 crowd of 603,550 had the 600,000 neshamas, and the three, and they even deal with the svarim. What happened to the 3,550? They're counted. There's only 600,000 neshamas. So obviously, there has to do with that they were given a certain level of possibility that the others didn't have. Whatever that means. That's why I said I don't like to talk about. I said right away, don't like to talk about something I don't understand. I go back to that.
Moshe
Rabbeinu
does not have a neshama.
Moshe Rabbeinu shaku kenegad. He had everybody.
He had everybody.
I don't know how to answer that. They say Moshe Rabbeinu shaku kenegad shishim riboy. So he's not the one to ask the question.
Right?
Yes, he obviously did. By the way, I'm not worried about his neshama. Yes. That's for sure. Yeah. But obviously these 600,000 had a certain level. Right.
So why didn't, if you go down to 2 by stone, Sukkim seem like you need 10?
Right. I don't know the answer. I mean, I can speculate, but I don't know the answer. Start to come out by time, Rav, and this is where it gets even more difficult or more frightening, whatever way you want to learn. The Chayinli Maisa Mashiach. And Maisa Mashiach, also 2 per 600,000 will survive. Now, again, the Maral says it means to say for all 600,000 people that ever lived from the day of Kal Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim till 2012, when Mashiach's coming, 2011, when Mashiach's going to come, 2 per 600,000 Yidden that ever lived will survive for Maisa Mashiach. That's how the Maral learns this Gemara. The Mashiach Chachma says, even if only 2 will grow to the optimum shleimus through the nisim that Hashem will perform for Maita Mashiach, it's worth doing those miracles. That's how he learns the Gemara. Each one building on the pshat they said before.
We could all be surviving the Maita Mashiach. We might be the 2 of the numbers.
According to the Maral, correct, but I don't know, again. The Pashim Shat in the Gemara is rather frightening, that's all I can say. Not the Gemara Vaitre. Shanam Rabba Unsa Shama. Can I have some help? Ansa Shema? What does it mean?
Humble there.
Humble there, Kimenu Ra, like the days of her youth, the Kaliyah Malay Samaritan Mitzrayim. Okay, talk to Gemara Vaitre. Now it gets a little bit easier. I entered the city of Alexandria. I found an old person, and he told me, I will show you things that are left over from what my forefathers did to your forefathers. Mehem Tavul Bayam, they drowned some in the sea. Mehem Hargu Bakarev, they killed some in the sword. He obviously couldn't show them that. The next one is the scary one that he could show. Mehem Mochu Bebinyan, they took some Jewish boys and they built them into buildings. And this is what caused Moshe Rabbeinu to have his reaction that caused him to get punished. Shenemar, Omiyaz Batsi Apare Ladabri Bishmecha. And from when I came to Pari to speak in your name, Heira Lamazah, things have gotten worse. Meaning he came and said, Lama Raisa Lamazah, Maz Basya Pari Heira Lamazah. You told me you were going to save Klal Yisrael. Why aren't you saving Klal Yisrael? This Moshe screamed from anguish. But then again, Rabbi Nishlam has kindness on him for doing it. Amalai HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Chaval al the Abdin, woe on those that were lost, the Lay Mishtakin, and they're not found anymore. Meaning referring to the Abbas. Rashi quotes this in Chumash and Parshas Vayera. Hari come upon him in the glacier of Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov v'Kel Shakai. Many times I revealed myself to Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov using the name Kel Shakai. V'hiru Rami Daisai. They never questioned me. Things happened to them that they should have turned to me and said, why? You promised us. You didn't keep your promise. And they never questioned me. V'amili Mashmecha. They didn't even ask me to say, what is my name? Whatever that's supposed to signify, Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what should I tell him your name is? The others never asked me. I said to Avraham Avinu, go to the length and to the width, Kilachot Nena. He wanted to bury Sarah, he couldn't find. I promised him marry Yisrael. He needs a place to bury his wife. He's got to pay top dollar. Never said, didn't you tell me I chose mine? I told him to live in this land and it'll be his. They wanted water to drink and they had to fight to get a supply of water. Didn't question me. Didn't say, Rabbi Nishlam, didn't you give me the land? I will give you this land. He wanted to plant his tent. He wanted to pitch his tent. Couldn't find it until he bought it for 100 ksita. Well, here Rachamim Daisy didn't question me. They didn't say what is your name. You said to me, what's your name? Betchila at the beginning. Now you're questioning that I don't keep my promise. Now you will see what I will do to Parai. You will see the war of Parai, but you will not survive to see the war of the 31 kings. This is the Gemara. Now there are many, many difficulties in this Gemara. I would like to discuss a few of them, but first let's do Rashi. Dr. Rashi. I will bring you to the land. Only two people. Yeshua the Kalam. The Nigzer Xeri Leib Apokas Michof, not for less than 20. Leib Yaisi Misamach, not more than 60 Shana years. Also on the Shishim Rebai, that account in the Midbar, and that counted nobody less than 20 and nobody more than 60. Only two survived Mitzrayim out of 600,000. Rashi learns Pashim Shat. Those two came out to 600,000. Meaning, 600,000 Jews, two out of every 600,000. That's 300,000 times 600,000. She goes 180 billion. The other 199,400,000 died in Shleshi Simei HaFeila. That's how Rashi learns. Only two survive every 600,000. They will be poor. They will be diminished like when they came out of Mitzrayim. They put them in instead of bricks. When he saw Shinasel Yisrael Kach, when this happened to Klal Yisrael, he started tining to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amr Meishel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ma'az Bati, it got worse. It's great loss, those big ones that got lost. I can't find people as great as them. You're not like Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov. Go in front of me and be complete. And then they ask me, what is the name that I keep my promises with, which is Yud Kei Vav Kei. And then you said you didn't save my nation. He pitched the tent of his, I don't know what apadnei means, I think it means of his, I don't know, of his place of living. The word Natiya applies to tents. Atasira, Hapam Tira, the floor shani isabem that I do with them. Period. Okay. Now here there's many questions. Question number one is, what is the taina of the name? Meaning, why is the name being brought in here? First of all, you asked me my name. Second of all, you're tining. I mean, the question, they didn't tine, you are tining. What does the name have to do with it? So the Mashar explains that had he not asked for the name, so then we could understand this taina. Because Shad is, he wasn't doing the same thing they were doing. They were being promised something for themselves, and they didn't get it, and they kept quiet. He was coming to taina for Klal Yisrael. He was coming to taina, he wasn't bothered about his personal thing. He was saying, why didn't you say Klal Yisrael? So Benishim said, once I told you my name, of Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is the name that I keep promises with, then you shouldn't have any taina. Meaning, had I not told you the name and you would have come in taina, it's a different set of circumstances than Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But once I told you the name, so then it becomes a bigger taina, Moshe Rabbeinu, that after being told Yudkei Vavkei, he still comes in taina. That seems to be a bigger taina. But one of the questions everybody deals with is this question. I mean, and this, it gets stronger really. If you want to say that Avraham Avinu didn't question HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is a Sar and Ishayinus. According to most Rishayinim, the burial of Sar is not one of his Asar and Ishayinus. Most people hold that Akedah was a tenth Messiah. So if you want to say that Avraham Avinu passed and didn't ask any questions, wouldn't the Akedah be a better Raya? Why is the burial of Sarah, I promised him the land and he didn't ask me any questions when he had to pay for it? Yitzchak Avinu, you want to look for times that he didn't question the Ravine Shlalem. It's that he fought with for the water supply. Is that like the biggest Nisayan that happened with Yitzchak Avinu? Yaakov Avinu survived Laban, Esav, Dinah, Shechem, Yosef, right? And what's the Taina? Because he needed to spend 100 ksita to buy a piece of land, and he didn't Taina. I mean, if you had to look for Yaakov Avinu to have questions to the Ravine Shlalem, I mean, he had a lot of place to ask questions. Laban, Esav, Dinah, Yosef. All his life was one big thing. And yet, we want to bring a ride that he didn't question the Ravine Shlalem. The example we use, spends 100 ksita to buy a piece of land. As if, what? It's all land area, right? It's all on the land. Moshe Rabbeinu is coming to Tainan for Klal Yisrael, so he's not even coming for himself. He's saying, Ravine Shlalem, you promised Klal Yisrael, so look what's happening. He's not coming and saying, you're doing it to me. This is the question that Rainham deal with. I didn't see any clear answer, but obviously, the question's there, there must be a good answer. Yes? Maybe. Maybe. Yes?
In the end, Sforza says that the first
Sarah is the I was very careful when I worded it.
Yeah.
I did most Rishayim.
And as I recall, the reasoning that he gives is...
I think Rabbi Yaina learned it's the 10th Nisayan as well. But that's not the point. Most Rishayim learn not that way. I didn't say, I was very careful.
No,
anyway, the Rabbi didn't say, I was just adding the name.
Right, yes. The explanation that was given is that, sometimes, or at least the homiletic explanation, sometimes it's easy to be a hero and direct.
Yeah, I know that. Yes.
Avram's question, how I know?
His question was, how do I know Klal Yisrael will hang on to Eretz Yisrael? It wasn't in his personal anything. But again, either was Moshe's, and that's the question. I don't know the answer. I mean, I don't know the answer.
Rabbi,
yes.
When Hakadosh Baruch Hu says his name, I mean, please don't take this personally. But
I won't.
I wouldn't. How could Moshe just? I couldn't ask anything after that.
You're not Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah,
that's a compliment.
I mean, I think again, I don't want to say what I think because who am I to think? But that's not the point. I just want yes, okay, doctor. Let's be here.
345.
What?
That was
345. That's his gematria. Moshe. I don't know. What is? I don't know.
What does that mean?
I have to do a couple of listing things. I don't know the answer. I don't know. But I just want to point out one more thing, and that is the Moshe Rabbeinu stuck up for Klal Yisrael. Remember that. I mean, he wasn't going to Rabbeinu Shlom and saying, you promised me. He's saying Klal Yisrael is suffering. Moshe Rabbeinu was in anguish over the suffering of others. That's the fact. He's still a tain on him. He suffered. He got punished for it. Which leads us to the next question. The Gemara makes it sound here that it was decided back in Mitzrayim, that Moshe Rabbeinu will not see the war of the 31 kings. And we learn in Chumash that the reason he can't go into Eretz Yisrael is because of the Mei Meriva. The Rishayim asked this question. The Riva, the Mashah, the Mizrahi, they all asked this question. So the Mizrahi wants to say that here it was decided he wouldn't lead Klal Yisrael into war, but he could still go into Eretz Yisrael. And at Mei Meriva was decided that he can't even go to Eretz Yisrael. The Mashah says, no way. He's not going into Eretz Yisrael watching others lead the war. That's not what's happening. The Mashah says that before the story of Mei Meriva was still subject to Tfilah. It wasn't the Gzar Din, Shiyashima Shvua, it wasn't signed, sealed, and delivered. Mei Meriva is what made it signed, sealed, and delivered. I heard a word from Rav Meir Bloch. He said the following teretz. He said that after Sira Vilay was not filled in. You're going to see this and you won't see something else. To be determined. But there's going to be a punishment. The degree of the punishment was going to be determined in later on in Moshe Rabbeinu's life. When he did Mei Meriva, so then they filled in the blank here. After Sira Vilay Muhammad Mamad Aleph Malachim. But theoretically speaking, had he not done the Avera Mei Meriva, he would have gone to see the Muhammad Mamad Aleph Malachim, but he would have lost out something else. Ata Sira Vilay, that's our Rebbe Lemeir Bloch learned. Ata Sira Vilay, and the Vilay is to be determined later and to be explained later. The Mei Meriva filled in the blank. So Rebbe Lemeir says, I wanted to tell you that this is my own part. This is the way I understood it. And the way I understood it is that had there not been this story, he would have never had the test of Mei Meriva. A person's future tests are determined by how he does in his earlier tests. If a person passes his Yainus, he has a certain level of new tests. If a person fails his Yainus, he has a new level of new tests. Right? Nobody in this room has an assignment to go out and do Chil Shabbos. Not in our test. We're not fighting that battle. It's not our Nekudas Abchira, as Reb Zestful would say. It's not where we're fighting. We have our own battles. As we win more tests, the battles change. As we lose more tests, the battle change. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu could have the Nisayon of Mei Meriva was because of this story. Had he passed this test, whatever it means, then he would have been on such a level, and I'm not one to talk about Moshe Rabbeinu, that Mei Meriva would not have been in the site. It wouldn't have been there. So it wouldn't have been possible for him to lose going into Eretz Yisrael. But because he failed this test of Azbasi Oparai, whatever that means on Moshe Rabbeinu's level, therefore he now became subject to the Nisayon of Mei Meriva. And therefore, the Rabbi Nisham says, Atasira Veloi, you'll be eligible to lose the Muhammad Lamed Aleph Malachim. Yes.
Referred to him as
Yishmei Tzvi, that at that point there was, quote, the decision that he would not go into Eretz Yisrael.
Because in contradistinction to Yosef,
who was Jewish, since he got... Is it Gemara? I think it's a Medrash. I said it's a Medrash, not a Gemara.
And so, I mean, the contradiction there, he did not speak, here he did speak.
Anyway, that's the way I explained it. We'll continue tomorrow.